Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from fishing guide Matt Leahy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we had a very interesting talk with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. And then lastly, some great spring fishing tips from fishing guide Kyle Sorensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Hayward Power Sports is the Northland's leader in outdoor recreational fun. Come in today and order your new Polaris or Can-Am side-by-side or ATV, Ski-Doo or Polaris snowmobile, Lund or Tracker boat, or a Bennington or SunTracker pontoon. Our parts and service department feature a massive parts inventory and more master technicians than anyone in the region. Plus, whether a side-by-side, ATV, or snowmobile, we offer the area's largest rental fleet with endless miles of trails right outside the gate. Have some fun with a visit to Hayward Power Sports.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down Hayward Bait and Bottle. We've got fishing guide Matt Leahy, who works here. And Matt, you know, it's finally looking like we keep saying this, but it's finally looking like spring. We get a little dust and snow every once in a while in the morning, which is kind of disappointing, but it's finally starting to melt a little bit, and rivers are running good.
Yeah, definitely. Rivers are running good, and, you know, still getting a little cold at night, but it looks like this week we got a couple nights of above 32, which is good.
I don't know if there's anybody trying to get out on the lakes ice fishing, but they're definitely guys getting out on the rivers.
Yeah, I've had a few people asking about ice fishing and a couple people going out. I mostly tell them to just go out to Nelson Lake because that is the one lake right now where the shorelines are still good and easy to find the crappies out there. But yeah, trout fishing's been pretty good on the Namekagon and the Berle. A lot of people are getting out. I saw a lot of people on the Berle this weekend. Looks like a few people are catching fish, too.
You know, and I should add, too, we record this a few days before the weekend. So, you know, by the weekend, if it's warm and rainy, things can change a lot. So don't take the report on ice fishing. I'd rather see you go open water fishing.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, the trout bite has been great. You know, last night I went out and I got 6 browns on the Namekagon. It's been a really good bite last few times I've gone.
You know, I had seen a report, too, of one of the guides that fishes up there in that Lake Superior, Ashland area, reported that steelhead were on fire on some of the streams, too.
Yep. I got to go out for a couple hours on the Berle the other day. I didn't have any luck, but I did witness one guy catch 2 in a row.
You know, and, you know, we're starting to see here some water opening up. I see now I drive by Lake Hayward is open clear up past the bend, which usually is an indicator that ice out's not that far away.
Yep, and I drove out by the Chippewa Flowage, and the West Fork was opening up, and in front of the Landing Resort was open, and it's looking like it's going to be opening up pretty quick, especially these lakes with rivers running through them.
You know, and the guys that think, well, there's still a lot of ice out there, you know, we didn't get that much ice this winter for the most part in that 20-22-inch range, maybe a little more in some places. Do you see any different?
No, yeah, we didn't. I never had to put the extension on the auger this year, which is something new. So, yeah, we definitely didn't have a lot of ice, and I think it'll go out pretty quick. Once those shorelines go, and there's a little bit of wind and rain, nice sunny day, it goes out very quick.
And let's talk about fishing for that, too. You know, some of the first fishing guys can get out after is the panfish. And the panfish, you get a warm day, and they can move up shallow. But otherwise, you can catch them out where you were fishing ice fishing if you got that open water.
Oh, definitely. Last year, yesterday, I was out crappie fishing. I had that reminder on Facebook today. And Yeah, they were out in the spots where I was out fishing all winter. And then most of the month of April, I was fishing on the chip of flowage in 10 to 15 feet with weeds, and those crappies were staging and catching a lot of big females. I released most of them, but it was a lot of fun. It's not that hard to do.
And if they happen to be close to a shallow area along shore, what they move up into, they'll come up vertically, and then they'll start moving horizontally toward the shore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll sometimes see them, their fins out of the water this time of the year. Well, once it's a really nice sunny day, you'll just see them swimming right on top in big schools, and you can follow them around. It's a lot of fun doing that.
You know, you brought that up, too. They're really hard to catch sometimes for some people when they get up there like that, because what happens is you throw something out there, and it's under the fish, and you aren't going to catch them. The only thing that seems to work is stuff that's right on top. I noticed little tiny crankbaits that float up on top, or little poppers, or anything that's right on top of the water, that when you start seeing that you could catch fish. Whereas if you throw, you know, a jig and a minnow out there with a bobber a foot down, it's underneath them, and then you're not going to catch them.
Yep, that's what I like to do, is get a little tiny original floater wrap and just start jerking it around and just chasing them around, and that's a lot of fun to do.
And let's talk about another thing, too, that a lot of people are going to overlook, is the fact that the bass season is open year-round catch and release, so you can get out there, and we've talked about this a bunch on the show in the last week or two, but the fact is you can find some pretty good bass fishing early in the year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, those smallmouth bite is usually pretty good this time of year, and they're a lot of fun to chase, too.
You know, I don't know what fishing opener is going to be like this year. We're probably a month or so away from it. You know, what we're looking at April here. We got to get into May. This year is going to be a little later into May because last year was extremely early, but you know, this year is going to be just a few days later.
Yeah, yep. But that's okay because we're having a late ice out, and those walleyes will just be getting done spawning. The crappies will just be getting into the shallows, really. For the most part, and should be amazing fishing the whole weekend, and definitely worth coming up and getting those walleyes and crappies. And
you bet. Well, you know, also start thinking about making sure your gear is ready to go, and you know, it's only a few weeks now, and you know, even less than that probably before we can get the boat in the water. So yeah, I know you guys here at the shop, you've got just about anything and everything that somebody's going to need for fishing opener and fishing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been still getting in a lot of stuff, but we are almost fully stocked up, and we got pretty much everything you need to get out on the water. Nets, fishing rods, baits, everything.
You bet. Well, thanks a lot, Matt, for taking the time here to talk to us on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got a very interesting talk with our local DNR fish biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season. And if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports is the Northland's leader in outdoor recreational fun. Come in today and order your new Polaris or Can-Am side-by-side or ATV, Ski-Doo or Polaris snowmobile, Lund or Tracker boat, or a Bennington or SunTracker pontoon. Our parts and service department feature a massive parts inventory and more master technicians than anyone in the region. Plus, whether a side-by-side, ATV, or snowmobile, we offer the area's largest rental fleet with endless miles of trails right outside the gate. Have some fun with a visit to Hayward Power Sports.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people we get on here quite often is our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Had a chance to talk to Max the other day on the phone before he gets out on his spring surveys. It was an interesting talk with Max.
We're talking to our local fisheries biologist, Max Walter. And Max, you know, we're finally starting to look like things are going to thaw out. It's kind of, we've been coming into a cold spell, then warm and cold, and it's been kind of a crazy spring this year. But eventually we'll have some open water, and the whole month of April here, there'll be a bunch of things going on with the DNR. You guys will be getting ready to get out, a bunch of things, and hopefully we'll have some fishing out there too.
Yeah, definitely. It will happen eventually. It always does. And anybody who's really having a tough time seeing a fresh sprinkling of snow every morning, maybe you'll be happy to hear that, you know, a later, more normally timed spring is probably better for the fish than kind of the rushed early ice out where we jump right into the 70 and 80 degree days, which I think is basically what happened last year. You know, we had ice out right at the end of March on some lakes. And so this is looking like a more normal year, mid-April. That's kind of our historic average. That's what the fish are kind of expecting. And so, you know, that should be good for them. Good for us too, for surveys, because that's when we'll be out, you know, looking at all the different fish species on a handful of lakes throughout the area every year and, you know, learning whatever we can out there and evaluating regulations, stocking success. You know, people often ask, well, what's this survey all about? There's usually not one answer. It's usually a number of different things we're trying to do and learn when we're out on the water.
Well, I know you mentioned it's better for the fish. Is that basically when you have a more normal spring where everything is a slow thaw, it promotes better reproduction and spaces everything out better, or what happens there?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a couple different potential factors. You know, when you're talking about our broadcast spawners, so those are the ones that are just dropping eggs and they don't stick around to take care of them or anything like that. You know, they're timing the development of those eggs for when they think ice out's going to happen. And that's based on when it has happened in the past. So when you get a really irregular spring and the ice goes out a month and a half early, those eggs may not be as fully developed as they would be if it was a normal ice out. And so they've seen that as an issue with perch, for example. Another thing is we kind of have to have the right sequence of events for the eggs to be laid and then to hatch and then to have food available for the little fry. And so if we get a really wacky spring where we have, you know, super warm weather, the ice goes out weeks or maybe even a month earlier than expected, but then it gets cold again because the days still are kind of short and, you know, we don't have that real powerful sun yet, it can really mess up the timing of everything else. So maybe there isn't a good zooplankton hatch or bloom when the little fry are out there looking for them. And so that can be really hard on these fish too. That doesn't impact our nest spawners as much, like our bass and our bluegill and crappies. You know, they're able to time things a little bit better because they're waiting until later in the season. They're taking care of their eggs with, you know, some parental care. They're staying on them and fanning them and stuff like that. So that's, you know, possibly one of the reasons why we've seen species like walleye decline. They're a much more sensitive spawning species. And species like largemouth bass are doing just fine or maybe better than ever because they're taking care of their eggs and they kind of have a better handle on the timing of things.
When you're talking about those broadcast spawners, I mean, that'd be muskies, pike, walleyes and stuff. But interesting thing I bring up here too is that, you know, the survivability of those eggs, there's a lot of factors there, not mentioned temperature and everything else, but the lake substrate in the bottom and stuff, except maybe northern pike are a little bit different. Their eggs tend to stick to everything, and they get well aerated a lot of times, so that's why we got more pike. Is that true?
Yeah, so there's a ton going on there, but yes, you hit on something important, which is pike are a little bit more versatile in their spawning compared to muskies. Perch are different too. Instead of dropping eggs individually, they drop them in one big clump. The word for that is a skein, and so people may have seen that if you boat around, you know, when the water's in the 50 degree range, you'll see these clumpy things on weeds and sticks, and they put them everywhere. But their eggs are all kind of clumped together, and they can stick them to things too. But yeah, you know, there's a reason that a walleye or a muskie are going to lay 10,000 plus eggs. It's not because they expect 10,000 of those eggs to survive. Only a very, very small fraction are going to make it all the way through from hatching and not all eggs hatch, to surviving the fry stage when there's huge mortality, and then making it all the way through, you know, predators and all the other things and starvation in their first year of life, to finally get to a size where, you know, they've kind of made it into the population, so to speak. We'd say recruited would be the fisheries word.
Well, we're talking about early versus late springs. A question I'd have for you, too, is what impact does water level have? I mean, we have changing water levels almost every lake, but especially reservoirs or flowages where maybe the water level comes up after the ice goes out. What effect does that have on the fish spawning?
Excellent question. And, you know, I feel like all my answers are, it's complicated. High water is generally better for the broadcast spawners, especially a species like walleye. When you get low water, some of the prime spawning areas, including, you know, creek mouths and, you know, shorelines and points and islands and stuff like that, can be too far out of the water that, you know, they're not going to be able to go up in there and spawn where they want to. So, you know, that kind of follows the what would be happening naturally with these systems. You'd have the big spring snowmelt. It would raise the water level in the rivers and all the backwaters and all these places where these fish would spawn historically. They'd go in there, they'd do their thing and take advantage of kind of that spring high water period and then have good egg survival and all that. So if we have a year where we don't have much snow and we don't have a lot of that melt, or if the timing is way off, maybe the snow melts early but then the ice hasn't gone off or whatever, that can create some issues for fish too. So, you know, again, it kind of comes down to just having the right conditions, and much of that is very much outside of our control.
You know, a lot of different factors involved there. You know, and people may not realize this, but some of your species of fish, they don't have a successful spawn every year, sometimes several years that they don't, right?
Yes, yeah. So that's a very good point, too. So, you know, we see different patterns. If you look at, you know, the 10-year history of recruitment of walleye in a place like the Chippewa Flowage, they'll usually be a big year, and then the next year will be a smaller year, even if the conditions are fairly good, because they have so many other brothers and sisters from the previous year to compete with, you'll get a smaller year class. There's less food available. Crappies are notorious for going 4 or 5 years, sometimes more, without pulling off a big year class, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's a huge one, and that'll be the fish that are out there supporting that population for the next decade. And so people will kind of notice that sometimes when they're fishing. Like, oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch and they're all the exact same size. You know, muskies are a species where, you know, it's not like they have a huge year class. They're just hoping to get a trickle of new fish through every year because they live for a really long time and they get a whole bunch of chances to spawn. Kind of the same thing with sturgeon. So each species is a little different. Some are a lot more consistent in how they recruit than others. They all kind of have a little bit different strategy for how they sustain themselves, and in many cases have done that for tens of thousands of years before any fish biologists and conservation clubs or anybody was out there trying to help them make it happen.
Boy, lots of interesting information there to take in, Max. And one last thing I want to talk about a little bit here. You know, we're going to have opportunity to voice our opinion or vote on some stuff coming up. We have the annual spring hearings every year. Again, they're going to be online. Can you tell us a little something about that?
Yeah, yep, online again this year. I think it's open for 2 or 3 days, so there's a big window. It's not like you have to be there just the first night or first hour when it opens or anything like that. A bunch of different questions. I don't have a full summary of all of them right in front of me, but you know, the fisheries questions this year are what we call advisory, and so a lot of what you're going to see is kind of bigger, like broad scoping stuff, a lot of statewide type questions, which is great for people to provide input on. That really helps us kind of shape policies and get direction on stuff. And then I think the wildlife questions are going to be a little more specific this year to certain areas and topics and all that. I'm not a wildlife biologist. I'm not going to pretend to be on the radio here, but definitely check it out. If you're interested in this stuff at all and how these decisions are made, this is it. This is the place to get your voice in the mix and provide input.
So when should we
recommend everybody do it.
When should we be looking for that, online and where?
Online, go to the DNR website, dnr.wi.gov, search WCC, Conservation Congress, and everything will pop up. I believe April 11th is the date where, you know, things will go live, and then you have a period of time after that to go through the questionnaire and provide all your inputs. pretty simple. You can do it from your couch now. You can do it any time of day. It's open continuously until they close it, which I think is, again, 2 or 3 days after the 11th.
Interesting. Well, Max, I really appreciate you coming on here and sharing the information with our listeners. I know it's going to be probably hard to get a hold of you from here until maybe the middle of May, because you're going to be busy doing a bunch of lake surveys and stuff, right?
That's the idea. So, yeah, we'll catch up on the other side of that, and I'll be happy to share what we're seeing.
Well, thanks, Max.
All right.
Well, folks, you know we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine folks that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got some great spring fishing tips and steelhead tips for you from fishing guide Kyle Sorensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, with the spring thaw going on now, we're starting to see more open water opportunities coming up. And on this week's show, we talk about spring steelhead fishing and a lot more with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen.
Kyle, you know, hopefully we're going to be able to get out on the lakes here soon, but been some river fishing out there, and people are getting after steelhead and doing some brown trout fishing on the rivers and stuff. I know you do a lot of that, don't you?
Yeah, you know, just taking advantage of what we can do while the lakes are still frozen. And we've been getting up and fishing some of the Lake Superior tributary and catching lake run rainbow trout or steelhead.
Well, you know, and you talk about Lake Superior, but you've got Lake Michigan. It's a drive getting over there, but you've got a lot of different streams and stuff, not to even mention the inland streams. But let's talk about that steelhead. What all's in them rivers this time of the year? Is just the steelhead, or is there other fish in there?
No, you can actually catch brown trout, lake run brown trout that came in last fall, or lake run brook trout. There's, or obviously the steelhead. There's a couple different species you can catch. But, yeah, even Lake Michigan tributaries, it's a little bit more of a drive for us up in Hayward, but those are open year-round. The Lake Superior tributaries do have a season on them, but you can take advantage of one or the other depending on, the time of the year.
The spring fishing is mostly the steelhead. There's a brown trout, a few other things, right?
Yeah, we ran into some brown trout today. A lot of them will run up in the fall, but they'll hang out in the, through the winter. But what's pushing up fresh right now is the steelhead. So they're a lot of times, the hardest fighting and what we call the most chrome fish. As the fish sits in the river more, they'll start to get more of a, they'll get more colored up, they'll get more beat up. So the sooner you catch them out of, after coming out of the lake, the more silvery and the more energetic they'll be.
You find the regular rainbows in there too, some with them or not?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a great question. Sometimes you'll catch, I guess, what we call an inland rainbow, and they'll a lot of times be smaller and a little bit darker a lot of times. If you compare them side by side, it's fairly easy to tell the difference.
What do you recommend people try as far as to start with the rod and reel, the setup for fishing the steelhead up there in them rivers and stuff?
Typically a 9 to 11 foot rod. You want something a little bit longer so you can manage your line and mend it. You want to get a very natural drift. Some people will just use a split shot and some sort of an egg. And another way is to do basically bobber fishing. People call it float fishing. And either way, you're just trying to drift either an egg or a bug or a night crawler or something naturally down the river and hoping for a a trout to pick it up.
But kind of just letting it kind of roll down the river with the current, basically.
Exactly.
You got to have just the right amount of weight.
Yep, and you'll find that as you get good at it, you'll start to use a little bit more weight in heavier current areas and maybe take a few split shots off in a more calm area. So you got to kind of adjust your rig, you know, depending on the water you're fishing. But yeah, it takes a little bit of getting into, but it's a lot of fun, and it's something you can do while there's still, you know, ice on our lakes, or maybe in that transition period where the ice isn't safe to ice fish, but you can get out on those rivers.
Well, you know, there's another place we didn't mention is that North Shore of Lake Superior up in Minnesota. They have they've got the Kamloops up in there too, and that's a little different fish.
Yeah, that's another strain of rainbow trout that the Minnesota DNR has been stocking. I'm not exactly sure how many they're still stocking or how many there actually are, but I do know a lot of people up in the Two Harbors area enjoy catching the Kamloops.
Yeah, that's an opportunity, and, you know, we've got local rivers here, the Namekagon River, too. You can get some pretty nice brown trout in that thing, and there's some streams, too, to fish.
Yeah, absolutely. You can pick up, you know, a Wisconsin Trout Streams map, and the trout streams will be labeled in different colors, reds and yellows, based on, you know, density and stuff like that. And it's amazing how many miles of trout stream we really have.
Well, you know, the interesting thing when talking trout, too, in salmon, a lot of people think, well, that's a fly fishing thing, but not necessarily. They'll eat all kinds of things, including they're a pretty good predator. They'll hit crankbaits and everything else. I remember when I was just a little guy, my grandfather, his favorite trout lure on the streams and stuff was a little yellow Lazy Ike with red spots on it, and he caught a lot of trout on that in them streams.
Yeah, I bet. They're a very curious predator, and anything flashy, you know, at the right time, almost anything will work, it seems like, but typically smaller stuff, but MEP spinners, little, like, Euro tackle plastics work good, like a, you know, 1 to 2 inch plastic or grub or, you know, any kind of egg representation. The one thing that you do have to be careful with, I think, that's worth mentioning is some trout streams will have, you know, regulations as far as live bait, and that's not super common in a lot of other areas, but there are a lot of artificial-only areas, and you do got to kind of watch out for that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of opportunities out there, not to mention the fact that once we get here a couple, 2-3 weeks from now, I'm thinking we're going to be on some open water out there, and some of the panfish and bass fishing is open now year-round, which is another opportunity, and the smallmouth get pretty active, you know, right away after the ice out, I think.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm really excited for is as soon as the ice is out to go chase some spring smallmouth and get after those really, really heavy ones.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't realize that they do group up in some pretty good packs sometimes before the spawn. And you know, once we get into, you know, just even before the opener in May, those fish will be bunching up on structure out there. And you catch one or two, and you're liable to catch 20 or 30 of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very similar to a fall-type pattern, as I'm sure you've noticed. And they are really putting the feed bag on.
I know it's going to be, I hope it's going to be earlier than later to get out there on the lakes. I'm trying to get my boat ready right now, and I know you're working on a few things. You're going to be doing some different stuff guiding as far as this year, you think?
Yep. I've got some pretty exciting stuff coming down the road. I can't wait to get out and try some of this stuff. I know for me, it's going to be, my first year running the Garmin, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and, I think it's going to put a lot of fish in the boat this year.
How do these people get a hold of you, Kyle, if they're looking to get you for a guide this year?
The simplest way would be just to call me up on my cell phone. I got it on me all the time, like a lot of people do, and I try to answer even when I'm out fishing as long as I got service. So my cell phone number is 715-558-8911.
Well, thanks a lot, Kyle, for sharing that information with our listeners here on the show.
Thank you, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.net. From there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.